You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
And if there are no more announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Psalms 37, 1 through 8. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you. Now, normally they don't let me have one of these anyway. Say I talk too loud anyhow. I just want y'all to know when I crossed the Red River, I increased the IQ in both states. I have some Texas help this morning. I have a real good friend of mine. This young lady that worked for a good friend of mine, and she talked about wanting to get in the criminal justice field, and we talked about that a lot. And now she's out here going to law school, and Marianne, and she brought another law student with her, Brian, and we're glad y'all came out today in this rain. I try to meet as many people in the legal profession as I can. You never know when you need some legal assistance. I had a real good friend that was an attorney in Odessa. Some of you got to know his name is Glenn Pike. He serves on our board now. And Glenn was a good Christian man, and because he was, I took advantage of him. That's what you can do to Christians. You can put them on a guilt trip. And so I got a lot of free legal advice from Glenn. I'd call up Glenn, and I'd say, Glenn, I've got this fellow. He needs this or that, or what can we do about this situation? And Glenn called me up one day, and he said, Leland, he said, I'm leaving the law practice. Now, Glenn, I didn't really feel like I was using you that much. I mean, surely. He said, no. He said, God has called me to preach. And I said, no, he hadn't. I need you here. And all that. And this guy up and left the law practice at about, I don't know, how old is Glenn? Now he's 50 plus. But I mean, he was late 40s at this time and went to seminary, and now he's pastoring the church and doing well, but he did tell me that he kept his law license active. And then Derek was telling me he kept his, and so now I got help in two states. And I'll stay out of the others. See? But just recently I had to call Glenn up and ask him some legal questions for some people who were trying to start a ministry in our town. And let me tell you a little bit about that, because you people help us, and I'd like for you to know a little bit about what we do on a daily and weekly basis. We'll be going home this afternoon. In the morning at 9:30, I have a class of men, and they'll be anywhere from 15 to 30, that have spent 6 months incarcerated in a program we have in Texas called Substance Abuse Felony Punishment Program. After they spent 6 months, and it's actually in prison, but all the educational part of it, and it's a very thorough drug and alcohol education program, they come back to a halfway house for 90 days, and then for another year they have to report to counselors, and they're on probation. The record never shows they've been incarcerated, but actually they have for 6 months. And so I'll have that group. They don't have to come to my class, but they have to attend so many classes, and so they can select us. And all of our classes, by the way, are Bible-based. Now, these are state-supported peoples and funds, and so we cannot go in and request that they bring the Bible. But what we can do, we can write the verses of Scripture down on a sheet of paper and hand it out to them. And this is the way we do this in all of our crises, that we're dealing where the Bible is a borderline thing. And if I went in and asked them if I could teach the Bible, they'd have to tell me no. But I've always operated on this. I'd rather ask forgiveness than permission. And not a way, I didn't know. But anyhow, at 9:30 in the morning, that's what we will be doing. Tomorrow night, we have an open Bible study in Odessa that we've been having for years. Started out as a home Bible study, and grew. Actually, it started in Midland when we first had it because some people asked me to come over and they just invited friends and they want to discuss the mystery. By the way, this is something that they've never heard about, and this is how it actually started. But because we've outgrown a home thing, we'll have about 20 to 25 people in that tomorrow night. Tuesday morning, I'll be at the jail beginning at 8 o'clock, and I'll be out there all morning doing chaplaincy work. And the chaplaincy work is dealing with the visitors. It's first visitation day of the week. It'll deal with the visitors. It'll deal with the inmates. It'll deal with the staff. Staff is hardest to reach. They always are. It's easier to talk with people that are hurting. They're hurting too, but they got to be macho. They don't want to let you know it. I have slightly overcome that because I take donuts. And so now, but you know, it's I have law enforcement people that have a child on drugs. I have law enforcement people going through divorce. I have law enforcement people that have lost a loved one. I have law enforcement people that's got a lot of problems. And so over a period of time, we've been able to build a rapport. And I'll be out there all morning. Tuesday morning at 2 o'clock, I go into a drug and alcohol rehab place where people check in for drug and alcohol treatment and spend 45 days. They not to leave the premises. They stay there. They're fed. And I've been doing that for approximately 12 years. That was one of the first classes that I ever got. Tuesday night, I'll be at the parole office. I'll have from 22 to 30 parolees that have just come out of prison. We do a 12-week program called From Garbage to Gems that Sandy is helping us with a tremendous amount. Because they like it so well, we're doing two classes. I'm not doing it, but another guy's doing a class. A lady has done it out at the jail, and it's a program that is totally Bible-based, but we can get by because it deals with anger and bitterness and attitude and this type of thing, and they like the program. So we do that, and that opens up the door to people coming back from prison. The jail opens up the door to some people that are going into prison. So as you can see, we get them from every direction. Then on Wednesday morning, I have a 9 o'clock class with a group of women that are the female side of what I did on Monday morning. Those that's been in that 6-month substance abuse program, 3 months back in Odessa. And by the way, in our town, there will be people in there from Amarillo, Abilene, Angelo, El Paso. Have one girl from Beaumont that's just leaving this week. But they come from a lot of different places in there. So we have an opportunity to get the gospel to them. And we may never see them again. We may only have them for that 3-month period. Wednesday afternoon, I have another class with people who have been to that program and got in trouble again, and they've sent them to a 30 or 60 day relapse program. They did that instead of sending them to prison. Our prisons are so loaded, they're trying to come up with some other programs. And now these guys, those that are coming back from the substance abuse incarceration are to find jobs, etc. In that 90-day period, these people can't leave the unit again. And usually they're unhappy people, very unhappy. And we're in there with 12 to 15. 15's the maximum. They usually keep it full, but sometime we're down to 12 to 15 people, and that on Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday night's real important because we take our granddaughter to Awanas. I had to throw that in, but get that granddaughter in. But Thursday night, we start a new program about a year ago. It'll be a year old this coming month, called a rec room. And it has absolutely nothing to do with recreation. It's rec room stands for re-entry chapel. And what has happened in prison and incarceration over the past few years in Texas, the doors have been wide open for ministry. As many of you know, we spent a lot of time going into prison doing seminars, doing discipleship seminars, marriage seminars, children's seminars. And then what happens is that this young man or young woman who got saved in prison, who got dedicated in prison, is released back to all of the problems that got them in prison in the first place. The truth of the matter is, and many people are not familiar with this, but anybody on parole or probation is in a pond of alligators. They can go to prison and never do anything illegal. I had a young man that I knew in my parole class, and he decided that he'd get another girlfriend. And the original girlfriend decided that he wouldn't. And he did. And she just picked up the phone, called the parole office, and said, "He whipped me." Now, no investigation, no nothing. Next thing it's done, so warrants issued. They picked him up. He spent 4 weeks in the Ector County Jail. And then when they got her into a hearing, she changed her mind and said, "No, he didn't." And he's released. He's released after losing his job. No many people hold a job once you go to jail. Losing his apartment. Some of them lose the car they're making payments on because they have to stay longer than 4 weeks. His whole life was disrupted. But had he been like you and I, that would have never happened. They'd have to be an investigation. They just can't do that. But once you're on parole or probation, in fact, all you have to do is violate the terms of your probation. Some guy catches a ride to town, and they pull this guy over because his tail light's out. They find drugs in the car. The guy on probation or parole is the one in trouble. Believe me. So there are some problems. And so what we did is to try to start a program that where they could, once they came out of prison, And I was showing Derek because we picked up some of my email. But I get from Huntsville the men who are coming to Odessa, Texas. And out of Gatesville, the women who are coming to Odessa, Texas on parole. And we contact them. We started this, like I say, in March. I called to check in to see how things went Thursday night. And we had 70-something people there. Ex-inmates, and what we're seeing is people helping people. If they need additional education, we've got some folks specializing in that. The police department donated bicycles because a lot of people are not allowed to drive or they can't afford a car. In our little town of 90-something thousand people, you can work half of it on a bicycle. And so we loan them bicycles. We don't give anybody bicycles because I don't want them to show up down at the pawn shop for drug money. But we've got a program with bicycles. And we've got free world people, and that's, y'all don't understand that term. People haven't been to prison. Have taken a ministry of fixing bicycles and love it. We've got a group of ladies that decided they would help furnish apartments. Now, they were pretty smart at that because every woman is looking for an excuse to get a new living room suit. And so they say, "Look, you could donate this and get you a new one. Yes, praise God. That's what I'll do. And it has worked great. We're looking for storage rent. Holy mess. We've got some ladies going down and working with the girls. We've got people that will pick you up and take you to church. We're using the rec room for a bridge from the prison church to the local church. And you know, all we're doing down there, now we have some refreshments, we have a coffee pot on, we have Coke every now and then. We'll have some special music. We'll get the lady that Marianne used to work for, a fantastic singer, and she comes in and she did our Christmas program this year. And we had a bunch of door prizes and just a fun time. But they come there and they feel at home, and then they get involved. And we've got people. I had every Saturday morning to our church, we have a men's breakfast, a men's prayer breakfast. And one of the officers goes to my church, come up to my table here a while back, and he said, Leland said, I met one of you guys. And I'm always nervous when a policeman tells me he's met one of my guys. Right? And I said, which guy? Because we go, as you know, do a lot of different things that I've just told him. He said, one of the guys that comes to that thing, what do you call that thing you're having on Thursday night? I said, rec room. He said, I met one of those guys. And very hesitantly, I said, how'd you meet him? He said, I was working over here in one of the drug areas. And said, this guy walked up to me with all these tattoos and introduced himself and said, sir, do you know Jesus? I just love that. Hey, by the way, this guy's got 90 years left on parole. He was serving a 100-year sentence. He's a miracle. He ought not to have been out. No way can he get out. In the Texas system, he's 2 times habitual, which if you're 1 time habitual, you don't get out. He was 2 times habitual. God just set him out. And he knows it. And so because of that, in the church, he's now involved in a church. He and his wife are teaching a substance abuse class in that through the Bible. God has given us so many victories. And we're seeing church people that come for various reasons. Maybe they come to sing, or maybe they just got a friend that's back that they're bringing that just got out of prison or something. And then they're getting involved. They're caring. They're working with them. What can we do? We found out that in Texas, well, the government's unique. But in Texas, if you've got a drug problem, they call that a handicap. And it'll help pay your education. Now, you can't go out and get a bachelor's degree, but you can get a working degree on air conditioning and heating to be a hairstylist, to any type of career thing, and they'll pay for your education. And so we're getting some of them back in to do those things. We've got some people I can just go talk to an ex-inmate who's been there when they're having problems. What can we do? So there's so many things that God has opened up the door. That's Thursday night. Friday we're back at the jail from 1 to 2. I kind of oversee the ministry program. We allow ministry in our jail from 1 to 2. The women can go anywhere on the women's side. The men can go anywhere on the men's side and minister. That's 1 hour a week that they allow us. And we have a Christian sheriff, and they've been very good to us in order to do that. But that's how our week goes if we don't go to prison that week. And we have cut back on that. When we get back, we're meeting with some people that we're going to train to go in and do the marriage seminars. They're very interested in that. And Linda's getting kind of old to travel. Old age is kind of funny. I was talking about being a police chaplain. With police chaplain, totally different than a jail chaplain. But because we get called, I'm on call every other Sunday, because most of the chaplains are pastors, and but I'm not, so they put me on the Sunday deal. There's a couple of us just lay people. But anyhow, they call us normally to announce deaths. That's kind of our job, and it's not a very interesting job at all. It gets pretty rough at times. But anyhow, we get to know the policemen and the fire people and even some of the 911 people. Got a call the other day, 911, and this lady called in and said, "You've got to get somebody out here quick." Said, "Somebody has broken into my car. They've taken a stereo." Said, "They've taken my disc player." In fact, said, "These people even took my steering wheel. They've taken the speedometer, the cigarette light. They've taken all of it out of my car." And a little bit, they got a call back, and this officer said, "Don't," said, "disregard that call. She just got in the back seat." Some of you catch that in a minute. Old age will do those things to you. You know, I reached in the car and got my briefcase as we were getting out at the airport. And when we got up here, when we got to Dallas, I opened it up. I wanted to do some study. And I picked up the wrong briefcase. I didn't have my Bible. I was so glad Derek had one. I was afraid I was going to have to buy one. But I'm using Derek's Bible. I always look at people's Bibles because I like marked up Bibles. I notice there's not a thing in this, Derek. But everything, notes, everything that I had, I left. I brought the briefcase that had the study in it that I did for the drug group. I started just do that with y'all. Now, what is really irritating about this is that the night before, I knew both those briefcases were sitting there, and the night before I said, "Now, I'll be sure and get this one." I'm thinking about this in my mind. I don't want to mix those briefcases up. They're both same color, look just like, but there's difference that I know in them. One of them has to do with handle, because I am a very sharp thinker, I laid it on top of the car and drove down the road, and it fell off, and it skinned up a little bit, and the handle's got part of it's messed up, and I tell it, and I pick it up. And it never dawned on me. I picked up that briefcase, got in, and so here we are. So this fantastic message I had for you that was going to be so deep, and you were going to leave here saying, "Wow, you ain't going to get it." I wonder why God does that. God has sense humor that sometime, and I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And in fact, I said, I can do that, Lord. I can do it. And I asked Derek, I said, "You got a concordance, and I've got all this stuff out." And I start putting down these notes, and God is just not in that. And I don't know how I ended up in Psalms 37. But when I read it, I knew God was in it. Isn't it amazing somehow how you just know? So let's start here three times. I kind of got into this from the word fret. In fact, there I looked the definition of it up. And of course, and three times it says, "Fret not. Fret not. Don't worry. Don't be overly concerned." But I noticed another part of the definition had to do with erosion. And I think that happens to us sometime, that in our spiritual life, some erosion sets in. And in between these frets, fret not, in verse 1, and fret not in verse 7, and fret not in verse 8. That I see some erosion in my life. Maybe it'll be in yours. I don't know. I hope not. But sometime I wonder why older Christians sometime get to be duller Christians. I pray to God that won't happen to me. Our kids used to sing a little song called Every Day with Jesus. It's sweeter than the day before. And my, it ought to be. And so let's bow our heads, and then we're going to talk about this a minute. Our Father, just give me the words to say. We got a few minutes here. But more than that, may your word just touch each heart. I'd like to be able to speak good. I'd like to be able to talk good. I'd like to be able to be interesting. But more than that, Father, help me just to do what you want me to do. Just depend on your word. Help me to practice what I'm going to talk about. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. If there's ever a message needed in 2004, it's now. Most of us, we will discuss all the problems going on. I think we spend so much time on the gay marriage problem and a lot of these things. And I do this, but the good thing about our schedule and the good thing about the things that Linda and I get to do is that, let me tell you, we walk with some people. We get to meet some people that's got some real problems. Some of them have got problems with food. We've got two, and sometime there's constantly another family, but it won't be the same family. We got two regular families that we just that need help with food. Now, nobody in here needs help with food, but they do. They have a problem just with food. Some of them, I talked about the bicycle thing. They're thrilled to death just to have a bicycle. Why, that would be downgrading. And we get so involved with evildoers that we're not doing the thing that changes evildoers. We're not telling them that Jesus Christ saves. As I talk to the group, and I'll tell them up front, we're going to talk about the Bible. Now, so let me tell you why that I use the Bible. Number one, it's the oldest book I know. No other book that I know of any older than this book, and nobody's ever proved it wrong up until today. Second thing about this book is that it deals with the same problems hundreds of years ago that mankind has today. Y'all know Noah got drunk? You know, and their eyes light up. Many people don't know that. The problems are the same that were in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. But not only is this a book that deals with those problems, it's a book that has solutions to those problems. I've been in meetings, and everybody could rehearse the problem. Please, somebody give a solution. The Bible has a solution to it. But more than even that, and I have some people whose lives, and I'll just say it the way it is, but whose lives are in the toilet. And I say, I don't care who you are today. In this book is hope. Nobody is on God's blacklist. Nobody is on parole with God. Nobody's on probation with God. Today, there's hope in Christ Jesus. There always is. If you woke up this morning, there's hope. And that's the issue. This is why I use the Bible. And it's amazing. With all of those crises, I'm telling you, I've had one atheist that asked to be changed, not come to the class. I had one Hispanic who thought he was a tribe of Judah, not going to come to the class. And I had one Muslim. And I'm talking of all those classes, and some of them I've been doing for years, that asked not to come. And it's amazing. I have hardcore people, but if you talk to them and say, there's hope, don't care where you are. Christ cares about you. There's hope. Don't be fretting about all the evil done. I think we tie up much of our energy about what's going on out there. And I think we need to take a stand. And I'm not belittling those things. All I'm trying to do is get the proper first. Let's tell people like Christ. You want to see things changed? Get the gospel out. He said, fret not thyself, the evildoers. Notice four things in between here before we get to the second fret not, because the second thing he's going to say is fret not, down in verse 7. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Not in the way, in his way. We see people that just seem everything they do goes well. And if we're not careful, we stick our thumb in our mouth and say, now he's not serving God like I am. Why does he get to? I used to, you know, there's been times I've run to God and said, God, evidently you don't know about this old boy what I do. Because he is sorry. You know. You remember what Jesus said about, he was talking about the 11 disciples after his resurrection, and Peter misunderstood his statement. Well, he told Peter some things about him, and then Peter said, well, what about John? We got a bunch of people going around, well, what about, and Jesus, you remember what Jesus told Peter? In essence, 2004 language, he said, not in your business, Peter, about John. What difference it makes? He lives till I get back. And then Peter got that mixed up, and a rumor got out that John's going to live forever. That's easy to do in Scripture. I did it one time. I read in the Bible that the poor you'll have with you always. I thought, I'm going to get to live forever. That's not what it means. Then between those two fret nots, notice number 3 said, trust in the Lord. We all know that, don't we? We just don't do it. Can we really trust? Do you really trust him in what he's saying? Well, I know he said, but. Well, I knew he'll supply all my needs, but. Because see, most of us, it's our wanter in this problem. Anyway, we have our needs provided. But he said, trust in the Lord and do good. If we trust him, then we can do whatever he wants us to do. We can do good. We can trust him. Well, what about that? What about that? See, God didn't give us a laid out program. I had a guy tell me one time, if you've got a 5-year plan, you're not walking by faith. And that's probably true. And he was speaking to ministries. But he said, you guys that laid out all this stuff and you got everything. Now, he said, you're not walking by faith. So, we really don't know. And in fact, this program that we started, the Rec Room, for 2-3 years, I've tried to get somebody else to do it. And it finally got put. When I started getting the email things, that was my last excuse for not doing it. I didn't know how to find them. Now I'm getting them. There they are. No other excuse. Most of the time, let me say that I'd like to tell you that I'm dedicated. I really love the Lord and I serve him. The only reason I do some things is because I run out of excuses. I mean, I don't have any other place to go. Now, once God got me in there, I love it. Let me tell you something. I love it now, but I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to go into prison. I didn't want to do these things. Let somebody else do it. I want to be in management. I would like to start a ministry. God said, no, you minister. You go do it. Time and again. Linda and I just sat and looked at one another because we did all this work to get these people to do things. And you know what? They didn't do them. You know why? Wasn't God didn't call them. God said, I didn't call you into management, Leland. You go do them. Well, I said, well, I need to get somebody to go to this class and this class. No. No, he said, you go do it. I called you to build a ministry. I just called you to minister. Trust. Can you trust? Then he said, delight thyself. Are you happy with Jesus? See, are you happy? Delight thyself in the Lord. Now, some of us, every now and then, I'm happy with some of the things Luke does. But that's not what he's talking about. See, that's wrong. That's flesh. I might be happy of some of that ministry. That's wrong. That's flesh. Are you happy in the Lord? Is the Lord somebody that you'd like to just sit down and visit with? Do you know that when God was talking to the people back with Moses, the people said, look, we don't want any part of that, Moses. You go talk to him. I mean, to them, it's like talking to the principal. We don't want any of that. Don't want to go to the principal's office. Most of us, I've never been much on a lot of public prayer. Because I find people preaching instead of praying. Preaching to the people they're praying with, you know, are not really being honest with God. Because when I get off, see, there's some things I'm not going to mention in front of y'all. Y'all think I'm fantastic, I know. But I, see, every now and then I do. In fact, you know, I am, the other day, I was so repentant. I got this deal in, on the internet and said, if you love Jesus, you'll send it to 10 people. And I just sent it 6. I hate those things. I see so much superstition in Christian people. Said, boy, don't break this or you're going to have... But if you'll send this to these people, God's going to bless you. Uh-huh. Just trust in the Lord. He said, and delight thyself in the Lord. And he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. The reason we don't have desires of our hearts, we're not delighting in the Lord. They go together. Delight in the Lord, then your desires. See, if you delight in the Lord, then your desires will be right. We put our desires and say, Lord, if you'll give me my desires, then I'll delight in you. That's not the way it works. It's the other way. Then in verse 5, he said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, I've learned something about commitment. You ever invite anybody to come to church? And I'm going to tell you what. If they say, I'll try, you can forget them. They ain't coming. If they say, I'll be there, we don't have much commitment anymore. Down in our area, we don't get much rain. So lots of times at church, we pray for rain, and when it does, we don't go. I couldn't come. It's raining. Man, you prayed for it. You ought to be up there thanking God. Hey, praise God, it's raining. That's what we ask you. God does. Oh, man, couldn't get out in that. No. Now, we did get out to go to Walmart. You know. But we needed something. Hey. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he'll bring up. Commit. Come in. If I went up to somebody and I said, look, I'll tell you what. We're having at this church, at the Northside Bible Church, next Sunday, everybody that shows up, we are giving a $5,000 CD. You won't have one guy that says, boy, I'll try to come. They'll say, where is that? I'll be there, brother. Yeah, you know, commit. And then he said rest in verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Notice all these things are in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. We are stressed out. Christians, I'm talking about, are taking more medication. Stress. Depression. Stress in the Bible, God calls distress. You ever notice that? But that's because we don't have anybody we really trust. We're suspicious of God. Is He really going to do that? And in fact, a friend of mine said, you know, for years I thought God's name was Willie. Because they said, well, I know God can do this, Willie. Trust, delight, commit, rest, wait patiently for Him. And I'm not big on patience. I really don't even want to talk about this. Because my patience, and I'm one of those guys that I want the line to be moving. But I'm also one of those guys that will never pray for patience. Because the Bible said tribulation worketh patience. I prayed for patience. He brought tribulation. I don't want any more. Just, Lord, I'm fine. I'm fine with impatience. rest in the Lord. That's where we rest. I got a whole bunch of literature about. Because as a Christian organization, we get a lot of things that are directed to pastors and so forth. And all of it dealt with the stress and the problem with pastors and how we needed to get away and how God's people could get burnout. I'm going to tell you something. There is no such thing as spiritual burnout in the Word of God. None. Because the Bible says He will renew our strength day by day. Now there's religious burnout, and there's church burnout, and there's that denominational burnout, but there's nothing about spiritual burnout. God renews that. You can find some rest in Him. I didn't say your body wouldn't get tired. Sure it will. I didn't say that even Christ had come apart and rest a while, but it's a physical thing. It's God will feed us through that, not distress us and, well, I'm so stressed out. And I just got so many problems. Trust, delight, commit, rest. He said, fret not him that prospereth. And then the next thing He said to do is cease from anger. That's something we don't like to show much, but deep down inside, we're angry. Cease from anger. Paul said, writing to the Ephesians, be angry. Now think about that. That's a command. Be angry and sin not. Now, will you talk about a fine line? Let not the sun go down on your head. There are some things that we ought to get mad about. There are some things that we need to be angry about. I'm for that. There's some things going on in our governments, things going on in our churches, things going on in our lives and our families. We need to get angry about. But we don't need to harbor it. You say, well, what should we get angry about and not get angry about? What's he talking about? Let me tell you what, and this is one of the things that we talked in one of the anger classes that I teach. You learn to get angry about things God gets angry about. Well, what's he get angry about? Well, here's the book. Go read it and find out. There's some things. The wrath of God and God's anger is throughout this book. Jesus Christ walked into the temple. And he began to stack table. He got some rope and made a scourge, made a little whip. Now, in our day and time, I know we'd had some doctor so-and-so walk the nurse and say, my, he needs psychiatric help. we're going to have to get him some psychiatric help because he's showing his anger. He got mad about what God gets mad about. But most, you know what we usually get mad about? Well, they didn't speak to me. I had a lady come here a while back. Well, it's been a few years ago now, but she said, I was sick. You didn't come see me. I probably heard this somewhere, but because I never think as quick on my feet. But I said, I had a birthday and you didn't get me nothing. She looked at me and she said, I didn't know you had a birthday. I said, I didn't know you were sick. No. It's all, do it for me. Well, they didn't speak. I went to church and they didn't speak to me. I went to Walmart and they didn't praise me much either. All they wanted is money. If I was a pastor of church, I think I'd run sales like Walmart. I said, we got a $100 sermon, but I'm cutting it down to 75 if y'all get here on time. Y'all have 75. This is a real sale. This is a $500 sermon. And y'all can have... Now I wonder if a pastor did that today, how many folks he'd draw. See, we have to kind of begging them. And we look at it a whole different way. He said, cease from anger. And I'm going to tell you, you'll do that if you start delighting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, committing unto the Lord, and resting in the Lord. And then the last thing he said, fret not to do evil. Fret not to do evil. We don't have to retaliate. We don't have to get back. We don't have to hold grudges. If you're doing any of that, let me tell you what. If you're lying awake at night trying to be vengeful, so I'm going to get them back, guess who's the only one not getting good sleep? That person you so hot at getting a good night's rest. Unless there, of course, if that person is lying awake, worrying about getting back at somebody else. Hey, the scripture that we read earlier in Ephesians said, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. That's the key. Instead of looking at others, look to Him. Think about what we have. Think about the blessing. The Bible said be thankful in all things. Let me tell you what, after my little scare with cancer, I'm thankful to be here. Every day is a blessing to me. I'm thankful. And by the way, the alternative is better than now. See, it's not a real kick in the face to go to heaven. So, but just, you know, be thankful. We're a bunch of ingrates. We just kind of assume that God, because we're so great, I'll take care of. I hope that for the three things you'll fret not and for the five things you'll do, and if you'll try it for 7 days, you'll have a lot more fun. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, just teach us what you want. Maybe there's just one thing in your scripture that we need. Maybe there's just one of the fret knots that we really need to hear about in practice. Maybe it was the trust, or maybe the commitment, or maybe the resting that we really needed. Some of us probably needed all of them, Father. But whatever it was, thank you for your word. Thank you that you still love us. Thank you that you just take your time with us, and when we're impatient, you're patient, and thank you that you care and help us realize that when we don't serve you, it's not a whipping we're going to get, it's a blessing we're going to miss. And we want to have happy lives, and you've given us the form on which to do it. Bless each one here. Everybody has a different burden, everybody has a different responsibility. Everybody has different situations. Only you can handle every situation. So we turn it over to you. Thank you for those that are here. Bless them. Help us to love you and to serve you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
If there is one to come, Jesus. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.